Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Please be opening up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going to start in verse 14. I must say it's an honor and a privilege to be up here to preach today. I thought the first time that I would ever preach would be at an all-black church, but God had his will in his way, amen. There's a verse in Romans 12. Verses 1 through 2 that we're very familiar with. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? What does it really mean for us to lay our lives down? I first must start the message off by saying that I am in no way up here preaching at you this morning. This is something that I've been getting rebuked about recently in my D time. But God has been teaching me this recently, and a brother has informed me of my lack of manhood. I've been recently informed and then reinformed last Sunday by Bishop Galbraith. Thank you, Mr. Galbraith. But I was told that I need to grow up, that I need to learn what hard work is, that I need to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that very statement made me uncomfortable. But these words were not only for me, but these are words that I've heard many from the generation before us speak that we don't know what hard work is. It's speaking for my generation, that we don't know what hard work is. You know, we don't know what it really means to lay our lives down. And that bothers me. And so how can we be living sacrifices, living up to what God has commanded us to be? So let's go and read in 2 Corinthians. We're going to start in chapter 5, verse 14. This is our motivation. It says, for Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We are no longer to live for ourselves because Christ died for us. Christ laid down his life for us. He became a living sacrifice. He came and did what he didn't want to do in order for us to be here where we are today. And now God is calling us to the same thing. But this is our motivation, that love of Christ. We're not motivated just by being robots and going and doing what we know we are commanded to do, but just going and doing it, being compelled by the love of Christ is why we do what we do. And now we know that we are to be compelled by that love, but that doesn't mean that a walk in Christ is a bed of roses. But it calls us to be in some tight situations. And so let's look over and let's look at Paul and look at Paul's life and see what kind of situations he got in after he was compelled by the love of Christ. File over to chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I help you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, in hunger, purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. none of this sounds easy. None of this was meant and written to sound like a walk in the park. God has these very standards. Just as this word was relevant to the Corinthians back then, the word is still living and active today, and this is relevant for our lives. That we have to lay our lives down for Christ. We are called to be living sacrifices, and these are the standards that we are called to. Look at some of the things that he says. In troubles, hardships, distresses, in beatings, hard work, and hunger. I don't like to be hungry. But this is what he has called us to. This is what God has called us to be as living sacrifices. And although we understand what he is calling us to do and it doesn't sound easy, that doesn't mean that we back down from the challenge. But we must stand up and live our lives according to what God has called us to in the scriptures. Immediately when reading through this, I began to think about a movie that I saw recently. It was called The Butler. It's really good. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Studio Movie Grill, $5 tickets. But it was a movie about just a guy who was a butler, and he lived through the Civil Rights Movement. And I started thinking about it, and it was a group of people specifically in there, and they were called Freedom Riders. And they had been given the legal right to ride on buses together, but they were tortured, they were beaten, and almost brought to death in many cases. For us to have the opportunity to sit in a mixed church like we are in here today. But these people stood up for human rights in the U.S. Now, let's go look at one more verse. It's in 2 Corinthians 11. Starting in verse 22. It says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, and in danger in the country, and in danger at the sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern from all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of all the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascene's garden in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in a wall and slipped through his hands. Now, if these people suffered for U.S. human rights, and I'm not trying to in any way lower that, we understand that people are going to hell. That people will suffer an eternity in hell if we don't preach the message. Right. Now, how could we turn our backs if these people were willing to be beat for this? Willing to be beat for us to be able to sit in a church like this? How much more us saving people's souls so that people will not suffer an eternity in hell but can spend that eternity with God? It's not easy. It was never meant to be easy. God never promised us it would be easy. Remember what you signed up for. He said, take up your cross daily. You signed up to suffer. You signed up understanding that there will be suffering, but it is all worth it in the end. How much more us to suffer so people know who God is? Now, you may say, well, why would I want to sign up for that? That don't sound like something to sign up for. That's not the move. But We do it understanding that somebody needs Jesus. Somebody needs God. More than you suffering for a little while here. Paul also says that these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's why we do what we do. That's why we are willing to do this. That's why we are willing to, we got to be willing to lay our lives down as living sacrifices. And a majority of us in here today, or I speak for myself, I'm single, but a majority of us in here are single. And we have much more time than the marriage do to be going and reaching out to people and to be going and sharing our faith and helping people. I heard a story about the single sisters and they went to H Mart. It's a all Asian grocery store and went to share their faith. You know, when is the last time that you went out to share your faith? When is the last time you say, you know what, I'm going to get up and go to the mall today and I'm just going to share my faith. I ain't going to go shopping. I ain't going to go to Bath and Body Works and Perry Ellis. I'm just going to go share my faith. When is the last time you did that? And if you haven't been doing it, why not? There are people that are dying and don't know the gospel and the truth of it. And Mr. Richard gave us a challenge a few weeks back that said, all right, I give y'all 6 weeks. I want everybody in here in the study. How's that been going? How's that been going finding you somebody to study the Bible with? It ain't going to happen by you sitting in the house watching ESPN. You got to get out and share your faith. That's the only way for it to happen. And so I have a challenge that I see from the Bible that we should follow from now on. That before we go to work or school or wherever we go, pray every day that God will lead you to someone that you can reach out to and be in a Bible study with them that day. Not waiting and trying to set up something for 5 weeks ahead or 10 weeks ahead, but try and set up something that day with somebody. Because somebody needs this more than you need to go home and go to sleep. More than you need to go home and eat. Somebody needs this. And so, like I said, I know that this doesn't sound like anything to sign up for. I know when I first heard this, I was like, I don't know that I'm going to do that. But then you may be like Peter and say, Jesus, we left everything to follow you. What's in store for us? So turn your Bibles over to Revelations 21 and let's see what God has in store for us. Being a living sacrifice takes us fixing our eyes on the prize and remembering what we will receive in the very end. Now, before I read this, just listen, you don't have to turn it. It's in Matthew 13, 44 through 46. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold everything he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. You mean everything to God. That's exactly what God said right there, that you mean everything to him. It says that when he found the fine pearl, one of great worth, he went and gave away everything he had. And now you became everything. So that's one. And look at what he has promised us. It says in Revelations 21, starting in verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Listen to this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
go over the verses, go over to chapter 22. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 there also. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord showed me a river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not even need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever." The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits and the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place." This is what we are promised. This is why we suffer. This is why we are willing to lay our lives down temporarily here for later on, because this is what you are promised. In eternity in heaven with God. It says that in the Bible, it talks about it, that if God says, "If you see my face, that no man will live when he sees my face." But then there it says you will see his face. You'll look at somebody that's been around before you were even thought of. And you will look at him, and prayerfully he'll tell you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come give me a hug. Come enjoy my happiness. It's worth it. It's much worth it to suffer for the gospel in order to receive that later on." And he also says something else. He says it in John 14, 1 through 4. You don't have to turn there. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be with me where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." We have been promised so much. He says, "I got a place for you with your name on it." And when I read this, I think about me. I know y'all will be there too, but I think about me. I think about my house with my name on it. John Michael Deming Gerard. And he said, "Come in. I got something to show you. Here's your house. Here's your place that I said, that I promised you I was preparing for you." But the biggest thing is, we will never be willing to suffer for God if we don't trust in what he promised. If you don't trust in what he promised, if you don't trust in what he said, you won't be willing to go through any of this. It won't be worth it. Because you'll only be thinking about the earthly consequences to what you're doing, rather than thinking about the eternal gift that he'll give you later on. And so, we have been promised so much, so many great things, some things that no human can give you, things that no job can pay you, an eternity in heaven with God. And so every day this week, pray and think about your eternal standing with God and where everyone else around you stands with God. Think about that. Think about your neighbors, whether you stay in an apartment complex, whatever. Think about your neighbors that, "Man, I'm going to heaven and I know these people, but these people are going to hell. If they don't know God, if they don't know Jesus from the scripture, these people are going to hell." And I imagine, I always read Luke 13 for sobering. And it says, "You will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob standing in the kingdom of heaven, and you yourself will be thrown out." And I imagine people falling. I imagine people falling. People that I know. And they ask me, "You knew me this whole time. Why you ain't say nothing to me? Why you ain't just open up your mouth and say something? I know you were nervous. We in the U.S. Ain't nobody gonna kill you. Why you didn't say something?" And then they fall. Is you suffering now more worth seeing somebody suffer for an eternity in hell? Literally seeing somebody falling to their eternal death. Brothers and sisters, this got to become the most important thing to us. that we will lay our lives down, that we will be living sacrifices, no matter what it takes, that other people may be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you so much for this day, God, for the love and grace you continue to give us. Help us to do the one thing here on earth that we can't do in heaven, and that's share about you, Father. Help us to be bold, to let everybody we know, people we don't know, help us to have the strength and to be able to share with people what you've done in our lives, Father. Thank you so much for this day. I pray that you're with the marrieds and the singles that are coming back from this weekend. I pray that you give us the strength that we need to do your will, Father. Thank you so much. I pray that you're with all those that are going through physical and spiritual battles, Father. Help us to continue to love people the way you love us. Thank you so much. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Dismissed.